Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of the most holy name of Jesus. And the epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Ye princes of the people and ancients, hear, if we this day are examined concerning the good deed done to the infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which is called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's epistle, my dear faithful, tells the end of St. Peter's first miraculous cure as Pope. He is speaking to the Jews in the temple who gathered together when they saw that miracle. You see, just a short time before, the apostles Peter and John were entering into the temple. They passed a beggar lying on the temple steps. This poor man was born lame. He had never taken a step in his life. Begging alms was the only way he could provide for himself, and that is what he was doing there that day. As they passed, he asked Saints Peter and John to help him in his poverty, but these were not the right men to ask for money. "Silver and gold I have none," St. Peter told the man. "In other words, I am about as poor as you. I have no money to give. But," he continued, "what I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." Then St. Peter reached down and took hold of the beggar's hand, then pulled him onto his feet. Instantly, the man's feet and soles received strength. This was the first time he stood on his own 2 feet in his life. Now, it usually takes quite some time to learn how to walk. However, God not only healed the man's limbs, but instantaneously infused him with the knowledge of using those limbs. So overjoyed was the man that the gospel records that the beggar leapt to his feet and then went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know if skipping was invented yet, but he probably did that too. The man's cries of joy and leaping around drew the attention of those in the temple. At least some recognized him as the beggar from the temple steps. They knew his story, that he was born lame, and now they saw him walking and jumping. The people gathered around to behold this wonder, as well as the apostles who, they found out, worked it. And here is where today's epistle picks up the story. St. Peter reminds the Jews that God has worked this miracle, and they, Peter and John, were merely the instruments. In St. Peter's own words, "By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole." What an awesome miracle, my dear faithful. And I mean that word awesome in its original sense, that this is something that fills us with awe. A man born lame, instantly healed, and immediately walking. No practice, no building up muscles, no hesitating. He went from never stepping to standing, then walking, along with some leaping. We can understand why the people crowded around to see this sight, because it was truly awesome. However, my dear faithful, this astounding miracle is not as awe-inspiring as the wonders regularly worked in the confessional. With a prayer to Jesus Christ, St. Peter healed the body of a man. But a good confession heals the soul. If that soul was dead in mortal sin, a true and real resurrection takes place. From deserving hell and eternal torment, that soul has the key to heaven and eternal bliss. From an enemy of God, he is God's friend, loved and cherished. It is true, people don't usually leap out of the confessional, nor am I encouraging it, but the angels crowd around, rejoicing at this soul that was dead and is now returned to life. For they know better than we do how awesome it truly is. And all this is done through the holy name of Jesus Christ. The priest in the confessional, he is merely the representative of our Lord. He speaks in the name of Christ, but it is our Lord who hears that confession. A soul enters the confessional, weighed down even by the most grave sins. At each time, our Lord rejoices to behold him there. He looks upon his son, his daughter. He cherishes that soul and longs to give it life. Knowing this, my dear faithful, we must never let anything get in the way of making a good confession. All that matters is that we save our soul. That is why we were made for heaven. To let fear or shame get in the way of making a good confession, how pitiful that would be. To risk losing salvation because we were too scared to say sorry to our God. It is true, sin is shameful. We should be ashamed at our failures, our crimes, our betrayals against the all-loving God. However, we need only look around us today to see how terrible life is without that great God. During these turbulent times, how fearful people are. They have no one to turn to because the people they so often put their trust in, politicians, doctors, celebrities, these people fail them. The common man is left with no one to put his confidence in, to watch over him, to guide and guard him through the ways of life. In a certain sense, they are paralyzed like that beggar lying on the temple steps. They don't know what it is like to walk with the comfort of having an all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving God beside them. We have, my dear faithful, so much in that awesome word of Jesus. Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Sovereign Master. All the world rests in his hands. All its problems, its trials, and its crosses, with a single touch, all could be removed, everything restored. But God leaves them in order to draw a greater good out of them. Like that paralyzed beggar who, when the simple power of being able to walk was given to him, leapt around for joy. So too, there have been many souls who are rejoicing to find the traditional Catholic faith. God used these troubled times to draw them to him. Souls are being saved exactly through those crosses that weigh upon us. Let us then, who already have the faith, use these crosses ourselves to draw us closer to Christ as well. Let us go to confession fearlessly and at the same time sorrowfully. Let us beg pardon of our God, thank him for his great mercy to us, and extol him for just how awesome he truly is. This new year, my dear faithful, be resolved in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to use the sacrament of confession well and to go frequently. If we are right with God, then nothing else matters. We are ready to face any troubles in this world because heaven is there waiting for us. The angels crowd around us giving their aid, and God, we can always trust, will draw a greater good out of everything. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.